Let's all stand, everybody. Just want to give a shout out to our media tech, Brittany, who's done an awesome job decorating for us this Christmas. Sam Rivas back there on cameras. Dennis Uselman on the sound. We don't ever get to talk about all these people that are making sure the service runs. They're here in hours early. So we thank you. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We have some special prayer requests tonight. We want to pray for Brother Grant, who has been struggling with some ailments, and I think he's currently in the hospital right now. And so we want to remember him in prayer. Sister Jess Rivest was in a automobile accident, and her neck is pretty messed up, and she's been going back and forth to the chiropractor. Someone hit her truck in the back and totaled it out, so not good. We also want to pray for Sister Pam tonight, who's been going through some struggles with her health, and we just want to remember all these needs. Let's just, if you have a need tonight, would you just lift your hand to the Lord right now? Let's just pray out loud, everybody. Let's just pray, and let's invite the presence of the Lord in here right now. Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, to touch our Bishop, Brother Grant, tonight. Lord Jesus, that you would lay your hand on his body, Lord, that you would take care of all these situations and circumstances that are in play right now, God, that you would create a solution, Lord God, that would be workable and feasible for everyone involved with his health, Lord. We ask you, Lord Jesus, right now you touch Sister Jess's neck and her back and her head and the headaches that are associated with it. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to end that pain in the name of Jesus, just to let it be healed in Jesus' name tonight. God, we ask you, Lord, to touch Sister Pam and her body, Lord, having some struggles in the last couple of days. We ask you to give her strength, oh God, and healing. Let virtue flow into her body, God. Let restoration begin and healing begin in her body, Lord, in the name of Jesus tonight, God. We pray, Lord God, that every person who's come into this sanctuary, every person online tonight would hear the word of the Lord and let it settle deep into their heart as a seed in the soil, God. Let it be something that can change their life, Lord Jesus, if they would allow it to, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless the rest of the service, bless the speaking, bless the music, and bless everyone that's here in Jesus' name. Everyone said, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. We just like to welcome all of our guests here to Calvary Gospel Church. If you're a first-time guest, we have a connection card we'd like for you to fill out for us in the kiosk in the back. It's just a couple simple points of information. We'd like to get to know you a little bit better. We have some giving options tonight. As you all are aware, there's four ways to give at Calvary Gospel Church. You can give online on our website. You can give in person at the plexiglass box in the back at the same kiosk. You can give by mail, or you can give by the mobile giving app, which is a growing preferred method for communication and giving. If you haven't been able to take the moment of time to get the app on your phone, please do so in the next week or so. 2023, it's going to be super important that you stay connected to all the awesome events that are happening here at Calvary Gospel Church. Amen. We have a couple of other announcements. This Sunday, men's ministry service at 6 p.m. We have Josh Manis, Spencer Hicks, and Jim Rivas all speaking to us. But we're also having Vosis and AIM joining with us for that service. So it'll be a very cool and unique men's service that's going to be at 6 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. Now, Sunday, December 18th, is going to be our Christmas program. Christmas, it's not misspelled. It's on purpose. If you look really closely, there's two images you're looking at, but maybe you haven't noticed that yet. But music and family ministries are collaborating to present this Christmas program. Starts right at 10 a.m. No classes that day. So say it with me. Starts at 10 a.m. So if you come at 11, you're going to pretty much miss most of the Christmas program. So if you don't bring your kids on time, it's going to be real rough. So we are looking forward to having a great time that day on Sunday, December 18th. Now, if you wouldn't mind, would you all just stand with us? We're going to go into a time of worship, and we're just going to invite the presence of the Lord in here in song and praise.
Worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how can I say thanks for the things you've done for me? Things so undeserved. Yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. And to God be the glory. To God be the glory. To live my life and let it be pleasing, Lord, to Thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary, with His blood He has saved me, with His power let me live my life and let it be pleasing, Lord, to Thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary, with His blood worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you,
Jesus. Praise the Lord, church. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God looked down and saw me. I'm thankful He saw you, but I'm really thankful He saw me. And saw me in all of my imperfections. And said, hey, in spite of it all, I've got a plan. Aren't you thankful tonight? You can be seated. And last Wednesday evening, it seems like Thanksgiving was a long time away, doesn't it? Time just goes by. And we have a nice, brisk winter day today. And you open the front door and you can feel the breeze all the way up here on the platform. And, of course, you all felt that coming on into the church. And last week it was much warmer. But last Wednesday night we had our Thanksgiving service. And I just want to thank all of those folks that stood up here and gave their testimony. That was just such an awesome, powerful moment, and thank you so very much for that. And then Sunday morning, Pastor Seidel filled in for us. Thank you so very much, Brother Seidel. We were in Stoughton, and we were speaking for Brother Thomas, and we had a great time down there. It was real, very, very uplifting in a sense that so many of the people that transferred down to help plant the church are there helping, working, all doing their part. And I saw a whole lot of faces that I didn't know who they were. And that's what's exciting. Probably 50 plus people that I'm like, I have no idea who these people are. And then to have them come up afterwards and introduce themselves and talk to them. It's just amazing that we are part of the church body here and we have planted a church in Stoughton, and we have brothers and sisters in Stoughton as a result of that, and that's just awesome. That's just awesome. And so tonight we're going to start our Christmas series. We are the last Wednesday of November, and from here on out it's December. At midnight tonight we'll be going into our last month of the year, And when those seconds tick away on that clock, they're never coming back. Sometimes it's hard to realize that and understand that, that you don't get those that time back. Time marches on, and we are a mere 25 days away and a few hours from Christmas. And as Brother Phil always has a Christmas countdown, so many days till Christmas. Well, we know it's 25 days and how many hours? 5.5+ hours or so, give or take. I called Brother Ben Elenius last week. He's down in central or north central Illinois, or Indiana, excuse me, and he's attending a church down there and doing real well. And we call him because he has always been our how many days till spring. So it was cold. And I was talking to my wife. We're driving on the road. I said, I want to call Ben and find out how many days till spring. And he says, Pastor Roy, I don't start my official countdown until December 8th. And I believe it was December 8th. At December 8th, that's 100 days till spring. So 8 more days, we have 100 days till spring, according to Brother Ben Elenius. But anyway, so our Christmas series, we're going to discuss 4 different topics and all how they relate to Christmas. So we're going to get started here tonight. I'd just like to start off just with the very familiar passages of Scripture. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start reading. This is something that we should all be very familiar with, especially as we go into the Christmas season. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. So in case you're wondering, they even had an IRS back then. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, the governor of Syria. So now we know who to blame for it, because it tells us. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of David and lineage of David. He was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that they were there, that the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I somehow feel that the same problems that plagued Mary and Joseph are still plaguing humanity today. And we fight with this every day. We fight with it, especially this time of year, every year. So we're going to title this series. It's going to have one title, but it's going to have 4 different messages within this. Tis the season. Tis the season. You hear that song? Tis the season to be jolly. Fa-la-la-la-la. La-la-la-la. Deck the halls with boughs of holly. Goes on and on and on. Tonight we're going to talk about how to fight busyness during the holidays. Life can be busy. And I'm sure for Mary and Joseph on that very first trip to Bethlehem, it was stressful. No doubt Mary being great with child, trying to figure out how she's going to ride on the back of this donkey for how many ever miles it was. She didn't have the luxury of sitting in a minivan or in the back seat of a sedan or anything like that. She was on the back of a donkey, 8, 9, or 9 months pregnant, due any day. Imagine that. Even if you had to ride from here to the end of the parking lot, it'd be rough. Imagine having to ride from here to like Cross Plains or here to Black Earth on a donkey. Life can be stressful. It can be busy, especially during the holidays. We look at life and school. School is stressful for kids. They're coming to the end of their 9 weeks or close to that, and because school is stressful for you as a parent, and the kids are stressed, and you're stressed out because you've got all of these kids you have to get lunches for and line them all up and get them out the door. All of these things, sickness levels in the house, it's kind of like waves of sickness come across the congregation, and it comes across at Christmas time. It comes across no matter when, sickness levels, and there are 5 followed by unexpected bills, perhaps, and you're stressed out that you're stressed out because you enjoy time with your family and everybody's just kind of on edge. 'Tis the season to be jolly. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, right? We look at Christmas parties. If you work on a secular job, which many of you work, you have Christmas parties, and this department has a party, and maybe your family has a party, and you got all of these extended, as blended, extended families, as well as we have a lot of blended families and all the stresses that come along with that. And all those silly Christmas presents that you have to buy. I remember one year we had to, was white elephant. It just seems like everything was a white elephant gift. And white elephant gifts are just like stupid gifts. But you still have to find a stupid gift to give to somebody. Then you got to wrap it. And then you got to go to the Christmas party. And you come home with another stupid gift. You need to get to the gym. You need to work out because you ate too much at Thanksgiving. How many of you can relate to that? You eat too much at Thanksgiving, and you're stressed out over the holidays because you wish you had the money for that gym membership that you never go to. I remember years ago, my brother and I bought a gym membership. It was one of the first ones to come into the Madison area. I think we went twice, and we had a 2-year membership. He did better than I did. I still showing mine. He's skinny as a rail, but you can't seem to find the time for going to the gym, even when you're paying for it, which adds to the stress. You have travel plans. Some folks, you have to go to 4 and 5 different Christmases, and there's the need for seeing the family, which means that you got to change the oil in the car. You got to make sure that the windshield wiper fluid's full because of travel and the salt and dirt and crud on the roads, and you need new tires on the car, and that just adds along to the stress. All the while, Christmas shopping weighs in the back of your mind, which brings us back full circle to finances, which has you stressed out all over again. This struggle is particularly felt during the holidays between late November and early January. Late November, because that's when it starts, and early January is when the bills start to come due. So today is the last day of November. 25 more days until Christmas. And for us as a Christian, this should be a season marked by gratitude and reflection and rest. And I get an amen from Brother Millen. And I believe he feels that way. I'm glad. Thank you for the amen. We should all be saying amen. Because this should be a season. But it really isn't, is it? Doesn't always end up that way. Which, of course, it kind of clashes with the culture that we live in of consumerism. And I was reading, listening, actually, as I was filling my truck up with, had to take out a mortgage on the house to gas my truck up again, and I was filling my truck up, and you hear that, hey, this is Cheddar News. Where am I filling my gas up at? Quick Trip, you got it. Telling me and the news, before I could hit the mute button, that they set a record on Black Friday for the highest total ever of internet sales. I believe it was $2.8 billion. Of things were sold online on Black Friday. We have this culture of consumerism. We have to spend, 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 which so often we get pulled into that because we get, you know, we want to have a nice Christmas. I want to have a nice Christmas. And we want our kids to have a nice Christmas, but so often it invites us to go out, do and get more stuff that we really don't need. And the other side of the season invites us, as we read the Christmas story, maybe we sit and we have a nativity scene in our home, we sit and we look at that, and it invites us to stop and to pause and to remember, why really are we celebrating this time of the year? The sad reality is, for the holiday season, for many Christians, we get so busy And we get so wrapped up in the season that we end up missing the wonder of it all, which is Emmanuel, God with us. You realize prior to this, God wasn't with us in the sense that he was. The sad reality is we miss it. So this holiday season, I want to challenge us. As I said, this is just one of four messages. Each message is distinctively different topic, but I wish to challenge us as a church to slow down, pace ourselves, and as I've said before, enjoy the journey. Remember that message I preached a few years back, enjoy the journey? We just did a series on boundaries, setting boundaries, and we talked about the principle of pacing. All of this applies this holiday season. I wish to stress to you, apply these principles, as well as make consistent time with your family for the Word of God and prayer, which is the best place to start this season, because being with Jesus is the only thing that I know of that can pull us away from the busyness of the world around us, is to just stop and pause and spend time with Jesus. Remember Jesus' friends? We spoke on this a few weeks ago, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Well, like Mary, the two sisters, Mary and Martha, we need to choose, as we read in Luke 10, 38 through 42 as a reference tonight, we need to choose the good portion. Sometimes we just need to sit down at the Lord's feet and listen to what Jesus is actually saying to us. We need to hear Jesus' words to Martha, where he says, I can just imagine him saying it, Martha, Martha, Martha. You are so anxious and you're so troubled about so many things. You want everything to be just perfect. You want this to be a perfect meal. You want it to be a perfect setting. And you're spending all your time trying to make all of this perfect. But one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Basically, what he's saying is, Martha, don't worry about it. Long after I'm gone, you're going to still have your house. You're still going to have your furnishings. You're still going to have your pots and pans to wash. But I'm only going to be here for so long. So just sit down. Let's just relax a moment. Let's just spend time together. That's what Jesus was trying to get her to understand. Listen, church, I want to just... It's not wrong to be tired. Sometimes you might feel, I get up and I talk about this a lot because I deal with the weariness of a lot of people. A lot of people are frustrated, tired. They wake up tired. They go to work tired. They go home tired. They eat supper tired. They sit down after supper tired. They get up tired. They go to bed tired. They wake up tired. It's not wrong to be tired. It's not a sin to be tired. The Bible doesn't say be tired and sin not. It doesn't condemn us for being tired. Life can just plain wear us out at times. It's not wrong even in life to feel overwhelmed at times. We get overwhelmed, and we're not condemning by any means those here that feel overwhelmed. It's not wrong sometimes that life situations overwhelm us. It's not wrong that perhaps our lives go through seasons of chaos. It's not wrong. It's not wrong. It's not foolish. But what is wrong? And what is foolish and what is certainly avoidable for most of us, and listen to me, is to live a life with more craziness than we want because we have less Jesus than we need. Did you get that? What is wrong is because we live a life with more craziness, more busyness, more chaos, more tiredness than we want, simply because we have less Jesus than what we really need. So I feel that the key to fighting busyness isn't less church or less Jesus. It's more Jesus. It's more Jesus. It's more Jesus. We get more Jesus by what? How do we get more Jesus? We get more Jesus by being in God's Word, which we have right here. Many of you, if you don't carry a Bible with you, you have it on your phone or your laptop or however you have it. We have more Jesus by being in His Word, and we have more Jesus by being with God's people. So tonight we're going to look at three simple suggestions. Now, these are not commandments, okay? These are suggestions that we as a church family that can use and apply to our lives this season to bring about the very best during this busy holiday season. So individually, when we look at this, what can I do as an individual? Individually, if you want to have a peaceful, restful holiday time, we need to spend more time with Jesus. We discovered that. It is the surest way to prepare ourselves as we begin to navigate the busyness of an anticipated holiday season is going to bring upon us. You see, God doesn't command us to have a daily devotion. It's not like one of the Ten Commandments, okay? But He does call us to dwell in His truth, meditate in His Word, Pastor Peter, day and night, doesn't it? So even though you won't find a commandment that says, well, where's this daily devotion commandment? He tells us that we need to dwell. We need to think. We need to meditate on His Word every day and every night. God does not demand of us a quiet time, yet He calls us to entrust our time, entrust all of our time into His hands. Devotions and quiet times will never last. Hear me now. Devotions and quiet times will never last if we have to guilt ourselves or someone, your pastor or maybe your mom or dad, has to guilt you into doing a devotion or a quiet time. It has to be something that we want to do. Has to be something. So it's God's grace and His empowering Spirit that sustains our daily time in God's Word and in God's prayer. It really boils down to this. How much Holy Ghost do we have active in our lives on a day-to-day basis? A lot of times, by the end of the day, our Holy Ghost is pretty well worn out inside of us. And we go to bed. We just hop into bed and we go to sleep. We cannot afford to neglect this. But if we have, return to Him. If you say, well, you know what, Pastor, I'm terrible about this. You know what? Get up the next morning and determine that, you know what? With confidence, because His mercies are new. His mercies are precious and they're new every day, every morning, every morning, every morning. You say, well, you know, I'm not real good at this. I'm not real good at devotions, and I'm not good at prayer. And I don't recommend that you have your devotion driving down the road, and I don't recommend all the time that you pray driving down the road, although sometimes I have. I've been on my way to meetings, and I've said, Lord, I've got to sort some things out. And help me, give me wisdom, and you can pray driving down the road. There's nothing wrong with that as long as you pray. I strongly urge you to pray with your eyes open. So just a thought, but nevertheless. But there's some things that we can do during the day, during the morning rush hour, that can help. You know, you can sing and worship in your car. Do you know that? I've driven down the interstate before, and I've passed, or some of you have passed me, and you're really into your singing and worship because of the speed you're going, I'm assuming. You're listening to something a little fast. I watched one couple. It was hilarious. They're singing, and I could tell what song they were singing, and they go right flying down the interstate. And I'm like, yeah, I guess that's how it's supposed to be. Sing and worship, whether you're in your car, whether you're studying around the house, you're working in your shop, whatever. Fill your mind with what is praiseworthy. And we can sing and worship our way through busyness. You can sit at the mall with shoppers going to and fro, and you can be totally stress-free. And in your mind, you can be singing and you can be worshiping God. We just have to do it. We have to learn how to do some of these things. We can study. Consider working through, and this is something that we don't hear this talked a lot of. I found this more online this Christmas than any other time, where they talk about Advent studies. And I'm like, Advent, that sounds like a really, I guess maybe a Catholic term, perhaps. I'm not for sure the origin of it, but I began to look this up, and I began to think, wow, this is actually pretty cool. Advent, for those of you that don't know, it's basically you would start it tomorrow, and you would study a portion of the Christmas story from tomorrow all the way up to Christmas time. And they call it this the Advent season, and I've seen a lot of these Advent calendars that have been promoted. And I remember a few years ago, my daughter bought one of those, and every day the kids would get to open one up, and there was a piece of chocolate behind it. And those sound like a really good one. So, Sister Lois, if you think we should do that, I would like one of those. Hint, hint. But nevertheless, consider with your families getting an Advent study. There's all kinds of them online that are available, and you can go and you can order and you can find them that have little incentives, and each day as you do a study, you take out a piece of chocolate, and you get to have a piece of chocolate with your Advent study. And buying one of those and use it as an incentive. This sounds really, really simple, doesn't it? Use it as a study to get yourself started in a daily devotion. It could be something as that simple as to get your children rooted and started in a daily devotion. Something, a little piece of chocolate every day, could get them to where they can develop a habit and a pattern for life. Now, maybe they develop a habit and pattern of eating chocolate every day as they study, but nevertheless, you got them to study. Yes, fix your mind on the birth and the first coming of Jesus Christ. We talk a lot about the first coming of Christ in the Christmas season, but we are anticipating him coming again. So we don't just stop talking about the first coming of Christ. You can lead right into and set up for a conversation about, are you ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ? Because Scripture does say he's going to come as a thief in the night. Very much like he came the first time. Nobody really knew he was here. And so these are things that you can do as individually and then as a family. Put Jesus at the center of your life. Family time, extended family, is pretty much the norm for almost everyone during the holidays. Most of us, we get together whenever we can. However, we can fail to reflect and really celebrate Jesus intentionally as a family. One thing I love that I've heard stories about Thanksgiving is that after the Thanksgiving meal, many families sat down and went around the table, and everyone said something that they're thankful for at this Thanksgiving meal. I'm so thankful for my family. I'm so thankful for friends. I'm so thankful for relationship. Now, this doesn't have to be anything radical. As far as how you celebrate Christmas intentionally as a family, but I just want to throw this in as an extra added bonus here. A lot of times we sit down as a family, We sit down with family, and everybody has their cell phones with them. And everybody's cell phones, if somebody's cell phone goes off, we've lost them out of the conversation. I just want to encourage you as a parent that when you sit down for supper time, dinner time with your family, get a little basket. Go get a little basket and maybe have the kids label it and decorate it, and the cell phones go in the basket. And the basket sits on the countertop. And no phone calls get answered during the dinner hour, because that's the time where dad gets to converse, because typically dads are the ones paying the bill. So I think dad should get an opportunity to converse with his family. I tell this story because it's actually kind of a sad story. I had a young man from the congregation a few years back wanted to meet me for lunch and said, I really need something. I really got to talk to you. I got some things. So I said, okay. I said, I'll meet. So we set a time and a place, and I show up, and he came in talking on a cell phone. He sat down. I was already there, and he sat down. We ordered, still on his phone. Our food came, still on his phone. I ate, he ate, still on his phone. I got up, went to the bathroom, and left. He called me about 15 minutes later and said, Pastor, where are you? I said, I'm almost back to church. Well, I thought we were meeting for lunch. I said, well, I thought so too. But you see, you spent your whole time talking on your cell phone. And I guess I kind of felt like I wasn't really that important or necessary. And well, when can we meet again? Well, I'll think about that. You see, our cell phones, as much as a convenience as they are at times, they can be a curse as well. So you know what? You sit down, put that basket, put it on the countertop, get your phones after dinner. So parents, use your family supper hour to talk about what God is teaching you through his word. Have those family discussions. Maybe it means doing an Advent study together as a family leading up to Christmas. And I think this is great, a great way in order to take and pull yourself together as a family and brush off the busyness of the holidays and make traditions. We talk a lot about family traditions. You can make your own family traditions. You can start making your family traditions and make those traditions foster a deeper understanding of and a deeper love for Jesus Christ. Additionally, consider what you might bring into your family to enjoy with this. Sometimes, as a family, there's a lot of extended family here within our church body that have relatives that don't live in the Madison area, and they're not able to travel to their families, or maybe they're estranged from their families and such. If you know someone, bring them, welcome them into your home, and start a new tradition by inviting someone over and sharing the holiday, sharing this time with someone. You may be single, and if you say, well, you know, I'm single, I never get invited. Well, how about going out on a limb and inviting someone else into your home? Inviting a family over to your home, perhaps, and such. So the more and more people are just, we get simply too busy. We get too busy for church sometimes, and we throw in a dose of holiday busyness, and sometimes we really wonder why or how anyone outside of church ever, why people only come to one, they come to Christmas Eve service or Easter, the only services they come to all year, because the world is just so busy. I've determined in some of the studies that I've read and such since COVID that it's not theology that's driving more and more people away from church. It's time. People don't take the time anymore. And we're going to get into that in our fourth lesson on this series. In all of our busyness, we cannot neglect corporate gathering of the church. And my last point here tonight is celebrating this season corporately, just as Acts 2:42. We're coming back all the way full circle from where we started at the beginning of the year. The Christian faith is not just for me and Jesus and my family and Jesus. This faith We collectively are the bride of Christ. It's for all of us. It's Jesus and his bride, the church. We can find reference in Matthew 16, 18 and Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. A commitment to the church will cost you time, but it's well worth the cost. And listen, you get out of this in direct proportion of what you put into it. And I just want to throw something out here for, we have a lot of young families that have a lot of kids. And you say, well, you know, my kids, they really don't get a whole lot out of church. Let me tell you the danger of laying out of church because you don't feel your kids get a lot out of church. They're not going to be, they can't get loud enough to distract me. Okay? So understand something. The more you lay out of church, and the more you allow your kids to lay out of church, the more habits you're forming that they just lay out of church. You know what I love about this so much is that Pastor Peter, and I'm not picking on him tonight, he's on the front row now, so it's like Larry's not here. So, no, right here on the front row with all four of his kids, and he apologized to me a few weeks ago and says, Pastor, I'm sorry, my kids are right on the front row, they're coloring. And No. Don't apologize for having your kids on the front row. You're teaching them, you're putting things into them, you're instilling principle into them that will stay with them their entire life. I like it that our young people are right down here on the front. I like that. Why? Because they're learning the values of attending church. And you say, well, you know, my kids are noisy, and just get over your pride and bring them. They're not concerned about their noisiness. You are. So commitment to a church, it's going to cost you, but it's worth the cost. And you get out of it in direct proportion of what you put into it. So as we gather as a church body, we receive the word of God along with our fellow brothers and sisters. Now, I'm thankful that we have church online for those of our elders that can't make it here. And sometimes people are working, and I understand people's life. I understand that. But we're all God's people. And the key to fighting the busyness during this holiday season, let's all stand tonight, or any other day, is to focus ourselves on Jesus through being in his word, centering our relationships on him, and pursuing him along with our fellow Christians, our fellow brothers and sisters. You know, there have been times you come to church and you're discouraged. There are times you come to church and you're very encouraged. And those times that you're discouraged, we can rely on our brothers and sisters to build us up. And those times that we're encouraged, then our brothers and sisters can rely on you to help build them up. So as we go into this holiday season, just remember, yes, life is busy. Life can be stressful. But it doesn't have to be. It just simply doesn't have to be. And I want more of Jesus. I want more of Jesus. More of Jesus in my life this holiday season. So God bless you. I'm going to just open up the front here. This is not a heavy message. I just want us to just say, you know what, Lord, as we go into this season, for me and my house, if you're family, if you're single, for me as an individual, and those around me that I have influence over, I want to celebrate the real meaning of Christmas. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ came in a manger, vulnerable, grew up, went to a cross, shed his blood so that I can have a life that is sin free as I can have it. Not perfect. We're not perfect, Brother Dan. It's not a perfect church, but we serve a perfect God, and His perfection rubs off on us. We strive, we try. So as Brother Dan sings, we're just going to open up this time. God bless you.
And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Oh, turn your eyes.
So tomorrow being the first day of December, as a family, even if you're by yourself, we still need to converse and still have a relationship with God. Start reading the Christmas story. Maybe studying it. Say, Lord, how can I use, because we're going to follow this up in our lesson number 4. It's going to be, how do we take this season and use it as a tool of evangelism? So start tomorrow reading with your family. And next Wednesday evening, we're going to talk about I want to be a little humorous when I say this. We all have that brother-in-law or sister-in-law in the family. Maybe it's your mother-in-law. Maybe it's you. I don't know that. But we all have that one person in the family that just kind of, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about, Brother Dan? You're thinking of somebody right now.
A few somebodies.
How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? So we're going to talk about toxic thinking. Remember Bishop used to have this stinking thinking?
Yep.
That's kind of what we're going to kind of cover that next week. So God bless you. Have a blessed week. Stay warm out there. Have a safe travels home. If you joined us online, so great to have you. To all of our brothers and sisters that can't be here, that are online, we miss you. God bless you. And we will see you here Sunday morning. God bless.